27, The Value of Transistors, H.K. Hynish. Judging from their construction, we may conclude that transistors will be used wherever efficient amplification is required within a small space. The portable transistor radio is only one example, and may not even be the most important. Another is the hearing aid, which can be made so small that it can become part of the frame of a pair of spectacles. Nearly all hearing aids now manufactured make use of transistors and are much better for it. Moreover, all kinds of electronic equipment, as for guiding rockets or for recording, which could in principle use valves, can be made much better and more reliably with transistors. That's why the total number of transistors produced in the world each year is now enormous, although only 12 years have passed since their original invention. In 1947, they were completely unknown. In 1948, a few were made. In 1950, the number made must have been thousands, and maybe even hundreds of thousands. This year, the estimated production is 400 million. We can safely assume that even this tremendous number is likely to increase. This is bound to make a big mark on our whole pattern of living. More and more people will become designers, makers, testers, and certainly users of transistors. What's more, many complicated operations in industry and commerce, which are now performed by people, will in future be performed by transistorized equipment. I'm glad to say that the world of the transistor is not entirely inhabited by professionals. There's plenty of room for the amateur, and the fact that most transistor circuits require only a small amount of power to operate them makes them peculiarly suitable for experiment by the amateur. When we say that a material is a semiconductor, we mean that it conducts electricity much less well than a metal, and yet much better than substances like glass and porcelain, which we normally regard as insulators. The term semiconductor actually covers a very wide range of electrical properties. It's not possible to name any particular conductivity at which metal ends and semiconductors begin. What kinds of substances are these semiconductors? All kinds, really, and far too many to list. Among them are chemical elements like germanium and silicon, and a lot of chemical compounds, such as oxides and sulfides. Not all are actually used for transistors, but in practice, germanium and silicon are. It's long been known that the electrical properties of semiconductors depend very much on their purity. The only way in which this can be properly investigated and controlled is to start off with a material which is highly pure, and then to add various chemicals in small quantities so that their effects can be studied. Generally speaking, the electrical conductivity increases as more impurity is added. A tremendous amount of work has been done on the purification of the starting material. Until today, germanium is the purest substance on earth, with no exception. It can fairly easily be made in the form of a single crystal, with an impurity content of only one part in 100 million, or even 1,000 million. How this astounding purity has been achieved, and indeed how it's been measured, is a long story.